in the latter part of the program, I guess.
Yeah, both, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Contract negotiations, I participated heavily in those more than he did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Both. And Lee Blue, who was the engine manager, the engine program office, he was there if I needed him, was kind of funny. Never directed or nitpicked or had anything to offer, really.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't bother me, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Just very supportive if I needed any support. And Sonny pretty much the same way. He just kind of handed off responsibility to me to go do it. Or maybe I just took it over, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I had some more experience maybe than some of them did, some people did. When I got after Apollo 8 from Von Braun, I thought that was nice.
That's magnificent. That's really something.
Yeah, appreciated both of those.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
Personal, but rather a little certificate that says you were there, kind of thing. This is right after the Apollo 11 landing.
Oh, yeah.
Special
mm-hmm.
kind of a recognition, I guess.
I think everybody remembers where they were on July 20th, 1969, you know?
I tell you, I remember where I was too, but I got a story to tell you.
Okay.
About Apollo 11, Saturn. See that fish up there?
Yeah.
Apollo 11, that's 11-pound bass. And actually, only a little BLI scale of 10¾, I think. But I caught that. I took my son down, he was 16, he could go to VIP area. I could get him in. My daughter was younger and she couldn't get in, so.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sister-in-law living in Daytona Beach, my wife, and they went down on the beach somewhere and watched it. But anyway, the day after the launch, I had a friend down there that I came from up here, we fished together. He offered me his bass boat. And I went over Lake Kissimmee and caught that bass about 2 days after Apollo 11 launched.
Oh,
11-pound bass.
That's a fish. That was a good fight. I bet that was a good fight. That's good.
And I think the only picture I ran across of myself involved with anybody was right at the end of the...
Well... So what this tells me is how long have you lived in this house?
I moved on Monte Sano in 1958. I've been here almost 50 years, 49 years.
Mm-hmm. That letter from Sam Phillips is fantastic too. I hope your children appreciate these and understand how significant they are.
I gave them this one from Phillips, I think. I don't think it's even I've got some more certificates, you know, these things and things.
Mm-hmm.
But these are personalized more.
Yes.
And this was a section of service medal. The only picture I got of myself that I found across, actually.
And that's Fletcher?
That's Fletcher and Lowe.
Is that right?
And that was at the end of the Apollo program.
Mm-hmm.
just told you I hadn't worked on them. I haven't even been on here for 1 o'clock for 2 years, probably, the time of that was done.
Mm-hmm. That's great. It's hard finding personnel photos. You could, they're even harder to find than the hardware photos.
Sure. And you can keep out. I have 2 copies of it.
Okay, that's great. I'll include this. And this took place in, in 72.
Marshall's Place, in the auditorium. One presentation day or something.
Mm-hmm.
If
you
hand me that note back
to
the name on it,
I'll
go over the rest of them.
All right,
let me
do that. You've run out of space. Oh, wait, over. You got more here. Yeah.
I put one.
Harold Hall. Okay.
And I called Harold yesterday, and he was home. He said he'd be around.
Okay, I'll give him a call tomorrow.
If he's available. I would definitely go take a look at those files.
Okay.
Because I think they're...
If he's in Newport Richey?
No, Harold lives in Huntsville.
Oh, he's right here.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Frank Fuller lives in Newport.
Okay.
Richey. Now Harold, in fact, here's his phone number.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay, great.
Then, it's on Crossing Ground, that's off of Bob Wallace. Kind of, he can tell you better how to get there. Now, one of the main engineers was on the F1 program all the time. It's Ted Benham.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was, I don't know what his exact title was, but he was a senior engineer for the thing. And I talked with him about 2 years ago when I was talking to Vince Wheelock. And he's still living, and that was his phone number then. I think his wife had Alzheimer's or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed you that Paul Cash note to me. And then here, Ron Bledsoe was a P&VE contact guy. He worked closely with us the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He might have something, I don't know. And you found Richard Brown already.
Yes, I'll be meeting him tomorrow.
Richard, he wasn't in the earliest days, but he came in and, like I say, he helped me with the formulation of the contract. Incentive contract.
Okay.
And that's not the fullest. I think that's it. And that's probably enough for me. That's probably the most likely people that I can think
okay,
of
that's great.
Have something that you might be interested in. Ron Bledsoe lives here in Huntsville, so does Harold. I haven't talked to Ron in a couple of years. I haven't seen him in a couple of years. As far as I know,
he's
still
up and around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful.
That's about all I dug out that I thought would be useful to you.
Yeah, and it is very useful. Names are important as well as just photos. And
yeah.
That's great. What I can do with this material is I'll either scan it, photocopy it, whatever it is I need to do, and I'll make sure I get it back to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
All right, because I'll give you my card. Many times, obviously, people are reluctant to part with stuff they know they can't replace.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, many times, it's the only way I can ever get a photograph or a document or something. So I have to give them insurance I'll return that. And I'll do that as soon as I get home and then give you a call and let you know when it's coming back. Here's my card. I hope you can read that. The home phone number is what you really need to. I'm down in Miami.
Yeah, okay. Alright. Yeah, you're welcome to it just when you after you get copies or whatever.
Okay.
Most of it I'd like to have returned.
Absolutely. Especially this wonderful book that you've got here on the F1, those photos.
Yeah.
I have, technology is a wonderful thing, and now you can scan an original photograph into your computer And because it's digital, it's virtually identical to the original.
Yeah.
And you've got a digital copy of,
right.
of a rare document or photo. So I'll make sure I get those to you within a couple of weeks.
Let's see what else. Oh, I was going to tell you something else about it. That the flight readiness reviews had to go down. The project managers had to present the key to the flight readiness reviews.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was down there. I don't remember which flight it was now. But Colonel Montgomery, who was the head of the resident marshal office down there, I wasn't presenting at the time, but I was there. And he came and called me out of the meeting. And he started saying, "Don't get excited, everything's all right, it's not going, you know, so forth. What are you talking about?" You know, I couldn't wait to get the subject. The school bus, the way you came up, you know, that sharp curve where the parking area is, on the right side coming up, do you notice that? It's
yes.
The part where
yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, the school bus from Montesano didn't make that curve. Went over this, going down to school.
Oh, was that right?
It went off the brake field or something and it went off the embankment and flipped over. And one little boy lived up here. In fact, his father worked at Marshall, but he wasn't on the flight stuff. He was a facility guy. The little boy was killed. And a good friend of Cynthia, my daughter, and good friend of family friends of ours, the Moody's, she was had concussion and they were real worried about her for a good while. But anyway, I remember more about the flight readiness review being called out and telling them my daughter had been in that crash.
But your daughter was okay.
Yeah, she was okay. We talked about it not too long ago when this school bus fell off the
mm-hmm.
ramp up here and all that came up again about the Montesano
yeah,
bus.
Yeah.
They even had a date and everything, which I don't remember now. And, on that book that the NASA retirees contributed stories.
Oh, yeah, Ed Buckby, I think, put that
in. Well, I had something about that I'd written on the Pogo problem and also on the combustion stability problem, I believe. And I went to look at my copy, and I must have given it to my daughter. I don't have a copy. But I've got two things I think I wrote up in that particular book if you
mm-hmm.
get a copy.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll have to tell you to get a copy, but somebody will have it. Probably Richard has a copy. He's going to see him tomorrow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ask him if he has a copy and you can read what I've written there, maybe. We also talked about they've got an engine, an F-1 engine at the Space and Rocket Center.
Yes.
That one, I believe, was loaned to them by Smithsonian. And the first engine we gave Smithsonian, it reached its life. It was going to be scrapped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Smithsonian wanted an engine, so we gave it to them. But the thing was, we didn't want the Russians to know what we'd done to solve the combustion stability problem.
Yeah.
So what we did was weld a throat plug in the chamber.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if that's the one that we set up there with the welded throat plug in it or not. I don't know. But it could be.
Okay.
I think Smithsonian had two probably. I think they still got one up there.
Okay.
Space and Rocket Exhibit. They had mm-hmm. one years ago the last time I was up there, I believe. But anyway, that was the way it was solved. I guess we figured Smithsonian surely wouldn't let anybody come grind out the weld.
Mm-hmm.
Weld and looked at the injector.
I don't think so. Also, when they get their hands on something, anything of NASA's, they keep it forever, apparently. So.
Yeah, they didn't give it to the Space and Rocket Center. They loaned it to them, I think, is the way it is.
Oh, okay. All right.
I got some feedback on that for signing off, giving Smithsonian kind of Everhard Reese. He was signing it at the end. He sent word. He didn't. He he didn't know whether I had authority to do it. I said, well, if the project manager doesn't have authority, who does?
Right.
We finished with it. Some guy in contracts or the center director, he hadn't got any responsibility there for an engine.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Officially, he didn't. Of course, he could do anything he wanted to.
Yeah. Okay. When I went down to the university archives, they had a model of the H-1 and the J-2, but the F-1 model was not there. It was donated. It was, I guess, Leland Ballou got these models originally.
No, F-1 came to me.
Is that right?
The F-1 was signed to me and it disappeared.
The model disappeared.
Yeah, it was gone.
They were all in relative scale to it, same scale to each other, whatever the scale was.
20th scale.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
And I just recently found out where it went. The guy who was working the H-1 project apparently picked up the H-1 and the F-1 models and took them home with him when he was abolished. And he donated them to some little museum up in South Carolina.
Is that right?
I just found that out recently. I wonder who stole them. You know, they obviously stole them because they're in that.
Those things are priceless, too.
Yeah. Of course, it wasn't mine. It was mine as an F-1 project manager. It wasn't mine as an individual, anyway.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I'd often wonder who got my model. Like, you know, everything else was gone. When I left, on my desk was there, the thing on the desk, and papers in the desk and all that, you know, nothing was there when I got back 2 years later.
Sure.
Everybody's gone, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
They'd be either sign another job or retired, one or two.
Okay.
So that's what happened to the F-1. In fact, that's kind of accidentally I found out about it.
I wonder what museum that is in South Carolina.
A friend of mine tried to look at a case that used to be here. John Moore.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Jim Sloan, who I know, he was the H-1 guy. Somewhere, he did this autobiography of himself. And in here, he divulged that he'd given those models to the museum, that little museum up there. I'd have to look back to where he got it. And where he got this one. He's got some material in here on the engine. I didn't ever read that far.
And what's this book you've got here?
She's got an autobiography. Yep, he did. He just a guy that retired from NASA. Was an engineer with H-1 project.
Well, how about that?
And I've read some of this, but I read and read the part I had read. I got to the part where somebody had thanked him for the fact. I think he's a little strong thumbing. I think that's how he got all this stuff. Apparently, nobody was around. He just picked it up and left.
And sticky fingers then, huh?
I'll look for it tomorrow.
Okay.
Buried in here somewhere, and I didn't read all of it, and I didn't mark it.
Okay.
But I'll tell you where it is.
Okay.
But legally, they had no right to take it off, and no right to give it to that museum or something. If anybody had a right to take it home with them, it was me.
Yes, I think so.
It was presented to me in the first place, but like I say, it wasn't mine.
Yeah. Yes, I understand what you're saying. It really belonged to Marshall, mm-hmm. and yeah. it didn't belong to an individual.
That should have been, but...
It should be on display at Marshall somewhere
yeah,
or something.
Right, that's where it
should. Well, thank you for loaning me this material and filling in some blanks for me, and especially this list. Did you give me the yes, you did.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's great.
Me.
Thank you very much.
Good luck on the book. I hope.